Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, 13th chapter, verses 1 to 36, and 8th canto, 14th chapter, verses 1 to 11. Verse 1 of 13th chapter. Shishukravacha Manor Vivasata Putra Sharadeva Itashita Saptimo Vartamano Yastadapat Yanimeshanu. Shukadev Goswami said, "The present Manu, who is named Sharadev, is the son of Vivasvan, predominating deity on the sun planet. Sharadev is the seventh Manu. Now please hear from me as I describe his sons. Mukam karati vachalam pangalang yajidhi yakipam kamaham vande shirum tinacharinam om jnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshamiritam yena tasmai shirinam. So what do you remember from yesterday's class? Yes?
Lord Shiva,
okay. That's a good thing to remember. Lord Shiva.
Heard about the female incarnation of Supreme Personality.
Yes. Mohini Murti appeared before Lord Shiva. Okay.
And then he decided to see that form. And he brought Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he resided together with followers and his wife. And he recited prayers about how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is all pervasive, how he is cause and effect, how he is present in everywhere, and similar, even more difficult philosophical points he gave. And then at the end, he asked about what if he would show me this woman form.
Form of a woman, okay?
Yes, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead laughed because he had to think twice what kind of form he would have to form himself that the Shiva would be disturbed. And then he disappeared and he appeared as Mohini Murti in front of Shiva. Shiva was completely bewildered and forget about his wife and followers behind and ran after Mohini Murti, who went all around the universe, around great sages, to show how even Shiva, who is Dhira, can be bewildered. And then afterwards, Shiva, after creating some silver and gold mines, he was very satisfied and proud of his Lord, that his Lord was bewildered him. So he was thankful. And,
Okay. Anybody else? There we had the whole summary of the 12th chapter by Jayadi Thakur. Thank you for that. Any other points, Adi Purush? Yes. Okay. If you hear this pastime of churning the ocean of milk, then all your endeavors will bear fruit and you will be freed from the fatigue of samsara. Anything else from yesterday's class? Okay, so, yes, Parvati.
By meditating on the eyebrows of the Lord, it protects one from falling.
By meditating on the eyebrows of the Lord, it protects one from fall down, the sages especially. Yes, you weren't here. How can you remember? Okay, the Lord can assume any form to please his devotees. Okay, so today we're going to talk about the rest of the Manus. We heard about six Manus. Actually, the first Manu was in, you can actually, if you have your flip chart handy, you can look at it. Then there's a timeline. I get, for the chapters 13, I did a timeline of all the Manus. And the first, cantos 3 through 7, we have the first Manu, Svayambhuva. Canto 8, this chapter 1, we have two Manus. Who remembers the two Manus of chapter 1 of this canto? Actually, this there was a new one, two new ones. Who are the two new ones? It's Uttama and Svarochisa. Second and third. Then later on, we hear about Tamasa, Oh, actually, he is in chapter 1. Yes, you're right. We have Swarachisa, Uttama, and Tamasa. But chapters 1 through 4 is all the reign of Tamasa. And which incarnation appeared in the reign of Tamasa Manu?
Hari,
who saved Gajendra. So chapter 5, we have two more Manus, Raivata and Chakshusha. And the chapters 5 to 12 are describing Chakshusha Manu, and 24 will also describe Chakshusha. Which incarnations appeared during the Chakshusha Manvantara, one before this, Adipurush? Ajita, very good. Also Danvantari, Mohini, and Matsya. We will hear about Matsya also appearing in Chakshusha. So now we are hearing this verse describes our present-day Manu, Sharadev, who is born at Vivasvan. So he and which incarnation will appear during this Manu? Yes? Vamanadev. Who else?
So many.
Huh? Avatari. Krishna, Balaram. Vamanadev, Krishna, Balaram. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Buddha. All of these incarnations are coming. Although Vamanadev is the one that's listed. But so many are coming in our present Manu. We're very fortunate and we're very close to the last incarnation only 500 years ago. Lord Chaitanya. Kalki will come at the end. Yes, Kalki will come. So then verse 2 explains more about our present Manu. Among the 10 sons of Manu are Ikshvaku, Nabhaga, Drishta, Shayati, Narishanta, and Nabhaga. The 7th son is known as Dishta. Then come Tarusha, Prishaja, and the 10th son is known as Vasuman. So in the 9th canto, we'll hear all about these different sons of our present-day Manu. They will go into great detail about the Suryavansha and the Somavansha in 9th canto. So verse 4. Oh, before we go to verse 4, does anybody know anything about any of these names in this list? Yes, Ikshvaku is famous. Madhavendra, what do you know? Yeah, what about him? Ancestor of Ram. And also, there's another important point about Ikshvaku. He's the son of Manu. Yes, Adipurush. He studied Bhagavad Gita, yes, from his father Manu. Bhagavad Gita mentions his name, that I taught this to Vivasvan, Vivasvan to Manu, and Manu to Ikshvaku. His name is in Bhagavad Gita. Shayati. He's also one that's famous, little famous, yeah? Oh, Nabhaga, you know, huh?
Yes.
Who is he?
He had a son.
Nabhaga.
A daughter for the son. And then the daughter became a son.
I don't know if that's Nabhaga.
It must be.
No, he had a son, Nabhaga.
Yeah, Nabhaga.
A different one. That's a different one. I think you better look it up. Shariyati is a famous one. He's the father of Sukanya, who married Chaivana Rishi. And Prishadra was cursed to be a sudra. So then verse 4, who are the demigods in our present-day Manu? In this Manvantara, O king, the Adityas, Vasus, Rudras, Vishvadevs, the Maruts, the two Ashini Kumar brothers, and the Ribhus are the demigods. Their head, King Indra, is Purandar. So Indra is a post, and the name of the Indra right now is Purandar. And he's famous for so many things. Actually, this whole 8th canto, Indra is starring. Actually, Bali Maharaj is starring in this canto. Sharadev is Vaivasvata Manu. Sharadev? Yes. Sharadev is his name, and Vaivasvata is his father's name. No, father's name, because his father is Vivasvan, so then he's called Vaivasvata Manu, Vaivasvata, son of Vivasvan. So then verse 5, with every change of Manu, there's also a change of the 7 sages. Change of Indra, whenever the Manu changes and all the demigods change and all the sages change. So the seven sages right now are Kashyap, Atri, Vashishta, Vishvamitra, Gotam, Jamadagni, and Bharadvaj, are known as the seven sages. So I have a little bit of biography for each of these sages, so I'll tell you about them. Kashyapa is one of the Prajapatis. Srila Prabhupada writes, son of Marichi, one of the son-in-laws of Prajapati Daksha, father of the gigantic bird Garuda, who was given elephants and tortoises as eatables. He married 13 daughters of Daksha. Their names are Aditi, Diti, Danu, Kashta, Arishta, Sursa, Ila, Muni, Kuravasha, Tamra, Shurabi, Sarma, and Timi. And he begot many children, demigods and demons, by those wives. From his first wife, Aditi, all the 12 Adityas were born, and one of them is Vamana. And he was also present at the time of Arjuna's birth. He received a presentation of the whole world from Parashuram, and later on he asked Parashuram to go out of the world. His other name is Arishtanemi. He lives on the northern side of the universe. Northern side, wherever that may be. Anyway, he lives up in the near the North Pole, where all those seven stars are. In the words of the Western scientist, the Big Dipper. Atri Muni was a great Brahmin sage. He is the father of Garuda. Yeah, so this is a reference from Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 9th chapter, verses 6 and 7. Yeah, not only he's father of Garuda, he's father of so many snakes and all the different insects and fish and cows and everything. Kashyap, Kashyap. His father was Marichi. Marichi was the father of Kashyap. He's a grandson of Lord Brahma. The Atri Muni was a great sage, one of the mental sons of Brahma, one of the seven Manasaputras, and one of the seven sages. And in his family, the Prachetas were born, and he had two Kshatriya sons who became kings. And who else are his very famous sons? Atri Muni's very famous. Raise your hand. Dattatreya, Durvasa, and Soma. He's the father of Soma, our moon god, Dattatreya and Durvasa. Vashishta is a prominent figure in Ramayana and Mahabharata. So if you read Mahabharata or Ramayana, you will see the name Vashishta in there. He celebrated the coronation ceremony of Lord Ram. He was also present on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So this is Vashishta. He could approach the higher and lower planets, and his name is also connected with the history of Hiranyakashipu. So he was in practically every lila, Vashishta. Ram lila, Nishinga lila, Krishna lila. There was a great tension between him and Vishvamitra, who wanted his Kamadhenu, wish-fulfilling cow. Vashishta Muni refused to spare his Kamadhenu, and for this Vishvamitra killed his 100 sons. As a perfect Brahmin, he tolerated all the taunts of Vishvamitra. Once, he tried to commit suicide on account of Vishvamitra's torture, but all of his attempts were unsuccessful. He jumped from a hill, but the stones on which he fell became a stack of cotton, and thus he was saved. He jumped into the ocean, but the waves washed him ashore. He jumped into a river, the river washed him ashore. Because all his suicide attempts were unsuccessful. So even amongst the great sages, there are suicide attempts. So what to speak of this world? I didn't know. Yes, Vashishta tried to commit suicide, but it didn't work. Then Vishvamitra, well, his father was Gadhi, a Kshatriya. Although he was Kshatriya by birth, he became a Brahmin in the very same body, but the power of his spiritual achievements. And again, he picked a quarrel with Vashishta when he was a Kshatriya king, performed a great sacrifice in cooperation with Matanga Muni, was able to vanquish the sons of Vashishta. He became a great yogi, yet he failed to check his senses, thus was obliged to become father of Shakuntala, the beauty queen of world history. Once, when he was a Kshatriya king, he visited the hermitage of Vashishta and was given a royal reception. Vishvamitra wanted the cow named Nandini, and the Muni refused to deliver it. So Vishvamitra stole the cow, there was a quarrel, and Vishvamitra was defeated by the spiritual strength of Vashishta. Thus the king decided to become a Brahmin. So he underwent severe austerity on the bank of the Koshika. He was also one who tried to stop the Kurukshetra war. So not only did Krishna try to stop Kurukshetra war, the sages also tried to stop it. Gotam, one of the seven sages, Sharadvan Gotam was one of his sons. Persons in the Gotama Gotra today are either his family descendants or in his disciplic succession. The Brahmins who profess Gotama Gotra are generally family descendants, and the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas who profess Gotama Gotra are all in the line of his disciplic succession. So two ways you can be in the, you can be in a Gotra, is one is by initiation and one is by birth. He was the husband of the famous Ahalya, who turned into stone when Indradev molested her. Ahalya was delivered by Lord Ramchandra. Gotam was the grandfather of Kripacharya, one of the heroes of the Battle of Kurukshetra. And he's the father of logic, Nyaya philosophy. Then Jamadagni, Satyavati, actually the father of Vishwamitra had a daughter named Satyavati, and she married Rishikamuni. And then from her, her son was Jamadagni, and his son was Parashuram. When a king named Kartavirya Arjuna stole Jamadagni's desire cow, Parashuram, who was a Shaktivesha incarnation of the Lord, killed Kartavirya Arjuna, and later he annihilated the Kshatriya dynasty 21 times. After Parashuram killed Kartavirya Arjuna, Jamadagni told him, killing a king is sinful, and as a Brahmin he should have tolerated the offense. Therefore, Jamadagni advised Parashuram to atone for his sin by traveling to various holy places. And the last one is Bhardwaj. He was also present at the time of the birth of Arjuna. He sometimes undertook severe penances on the shore of the Ganga, and his ashram is still celebrated at Prayag Dham. The Rishi, while taking bath in the Ganga, happened to meet Gritachi, one of the beautiful society girls of heaven. Thus he discharged semen, which was kept and preserved in an earthen pot, and from which Drona was born. So Dronacharya is the son of Bhardwaj Muni. Okay, he was a great devotee of Brahma. Once he approached Dronacharya and requested him to stop the battle of Kurukshetra. So these are our seven sages. Adipurush, do you know if they profess different philosophies? Or these seven sages, Gotam, well, you know Gotam. Gotam is Nyaya philosophy. You don't know? Okay. I've seen a picture of them. One is like a yogi, one is like an ascetic. I saw some really old picture of the seven sages, and they're all like in different moods. They're not all the same. Verse 6. In this Manvantara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as the youngest of all the Adityas, known as Vamana, the dwarf. His father was Kashyap and his mother, Aditi. I have briefly explained to you the position of the seven Manus. Now I shall describe the future Manus along with incarnations of Lord Vishnu. O King, I have previously described in the sixth canto the two daughters of Vishvakarma named Sangya and Chaya, who were the first two wives of Vivashvan. It is said that the sun god had a third wife. Oh, we have some commentaries here, which maybe I forgot. No, here it is. Said the sun god had a third wife named Vadava. Of the three wives, the wife named Samgya had three children, Yama, Yami, and Shradadev. Now let me describe the children of Chaya. So Vivasvan is the father of Shradadev, and his mother is Samgya. We're hearing about Shradadev's brothers and sisters. And his mother is Samgya. And our present Manu has a brother and sister, Yamaraj and Yamuna. That's the brother and sister of our present Manu. What a family. Here we've got Manu, we've got Yamuna, and we've got Yamaraj, all in the same family. Quite amazing. So then Chaya. Chaya had a son named Salvarni, a daughter named Tapati, who later became the wife of King Samvarana. Chaya's third child is known as Sanaschar, Saturn. Vadava gave birth to two sons, namely the Ashvini brothers. So again in the family, we have the family of Vivasvan, we have another Manu, Savarni will become Manu, a daughter who became the wife of a great king. And Sanaschar, Saturn. So we've got Yamaraj, Saturn, Yamuna, All in the same family here. And then Vadava gave birth to two sons, Ashwini brothers. So Vadava, here's a comment by Shiraswami. Some say that Vadava, or mare, means a female horse, was a third wife. But my opinion is that Vadava is the same Samgya in the form of a mare. Just as it is said in Bhagavatam 6640, then she again, Samgya, while wandering on the earth in the form of a mare, gave birth to the Ashwini Kumaras. The three children are Yama, Yamuna, and Sharadev. And also, as far as Chaya is concerned, I heard that one time Samgya was feeling the rays of Vivasvan too intolerable, right? And so she couldn't tolerate living with him anymore. So she left a shadow or something, a substitute, a chaya. Chaya means shadow. So it was a shadow of herself. It was a shadow of Samgya, because it was getting too intense living with Vivasvan. I mean, you can imagine, very fiery. So she left a shadow, chaya, of herself, and that chaya gave birth to Sanaishchar and others. So this is, I also heard that story, maybe Mahabharata, or, yes? Oh, okay. So here's how the story goes. So she left the shadow and she went hiding in the form of a mare, but Vivasvan found her in the form of a horse. Mare means female horse. Horse. No, that's Samgya. Samgya, first of all, she left a shadow of herself, and that's called Chaya. It means a duplicate. So Chaya means shadow. It's a shadow of Samgya. And then, that wasn't enough. Meanwhile, she was hiding in the form of a female horse on the earth. Then Vivasvan took the form of a male horse and found her. And so he was very attached to his wife, yes. Oh, then Vishwakarma fixed their marriage. He cut off 1/8 of the rays of Vivasvan. And he made Sudarshan Chakra out of it. 1/8. He said 1/8. 1/8 of Vivasvan's rays were cut off and made into the Sudarshan Chakra. So then she could again stay with him. It wasn't so intense. His 1/8 was gone. So these things are happening in the heavenly planets. It's a different kind of life than what we know here. So now the 8th, we're going to hear about the 8th Manu in verse 11. Our next Manu, and he is the son of Chaya. O king, so they're keeping it in the family now. The Manus are in the Vivasvan's family for 2 Manvantaras. The 8th Manvantara, verse 11. O king, when the period of the 8th Manu arrives, Savarni will become the Manu. Nirmoka and Virajaska will be among his sons. Purport. Present reign is that of Vaivasvata Manu. According to astronomical calculations, we are now in the 28th yuga of Vaivasvata Manu. Each Manu lives for 71 yugas, and 14 such Manus rule in one day of Lord Brahma. So 71 yugas is how many years? Many? 330 million years for one Manu's life. 330 million years. Okay, so one Manu lives that, and now he must be about 30 or 40 years old, because he's finished 28 yuga cycles. One third, 33 years old. Our present Manu, quite young still. So we are now in the period of Vaivasvata Manu, the 7th Manu, and the 8th Manu will come into existence after many millions of years. Shukadev Goswami, having heard from authorities, foretells that the 8th Manu will be Savarni, and that Nirmoka and Virajaska will be among his sons. Shastra can foretell what will happen millions and millions of years in the future. So I have a question for you. Here it says that Shastra can foretell what will happen in the future. So what are some other predictions from Srimad Bhagavatam? Madhavan Puri? Buddha was predicted. Yes, I have it here, actually. 1.324. Tatta kala sampavite samohaya suradisham buhuram nanchara sutta kikatishya parishiti. In the beginning of Kali Yuga, the Lord will appear as Lord Buddha, son of Anjana in the province of Gaya, just for the purpose of deluding those who are envious of the faithful theists. What's another prediction in Bhagavatam, Adipurush? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what's the verse? Nijantihi sumed Krishna Varnam Twisha Krishnam Sango Pangasta Pasharam Yajai Sankirtana Praya Yajantihi Sumedisha. Okay. And then there's, of course, Prahlad Maharaj. He also said that. There's a prediction in. Oh, any more? Yes, Satyavati. I don't know. You find the verse. Acha, Chaitanya. I was. Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's in the Puranas. Puranas. Maharaja Puri? Kalki is predicted. Okay, Kalki. Adipurush. Kali Yuga, yes. Kali Yuga is predicted. And the symptoms of Kali Yuga are predicted in the 12th. Canto. Actually, there is one Kali Yuga king, which is described in the first chapter of 12th Canto. The Chanaka Pandit's appearance is predicted. A certain Brahmin will betray the trust of King Nanda and his 8 sons and will destroy their dynasty. So this is Chanaka's appearance is predicted in 12th Canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And so I have a few predictions here from 12th Canto. And we can see this is happening right now all over the world. This is one prediction. Barbarians in the guise of kings will devour the citizenry, murdering innocent women, children, cows and Brahmins, and coveting the wives and property of other men. They will be erratic in their moods, have little strength of character, and be very short-lived. Indeed, not purified by any Vedic rituals and lacking in the practice of regulative principles, they will be completely covered by the modes of passion and ignorance. So what are some predictions about Kali Yuga? More predictions? Yes. Yes, one who has money will have justice in the courts. Without money, you cannot get justice. And this is true right now. Yes, Jai Nitai. La Lavanya Kesha Dharanam. Long hair will be considered beautiful for men. Adipurush. One who is arrogant will be considered truthful. Yes. So many predictions. A spiritual person's spiritual position will be ascertained according to external symbols. And on that same basis, people will change from one spiritual order to the next. Another one is if someone doesn't earn a good living, he will be considered crazy. He's not sane. He's insane if he cannot support himself. Yes. And he'll be a hero if he can maintain his family also in Kali Yuga. Sacred place will be taken to consist of no more than a reservoir of water located at a distance. So that's already like that. Many Indians say, we will go, they go to the sacred place, they have their bath, then they take photos at the sacred place, then they go to eat at the restaurant, the little places around, and that's their pilgrimage. And then they go back and show the pictures that we have gone to a sacred place by taking a bath. And here it says, filling the belly will become the goal of life. Filling the belly. Yes. So these are the predictions from Srimad Bhagavatam. Verse 12. In the period of the 8th Manu, among the demigods will be the Sutapas, Virajas, Amritapabas. King of demigods Indra will be Bali Maharaj, son of Virochan. So next Indra will be a pure devotee. Very nice. Very nice to be in the next Manvantara. Verse 13. Bali Maharaj gave a gift of 3 paces of land to Lord Vishnu. And because of this charity, he lost all the 3 worlds. Later, however, when Lord Vishnu is pleased because of Bali's giving everything to him, Bali Maharaj will achieve the perfection of life. So that Leela will start actually today, that Leela. About Bali Maharaj, purport of 13. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, Manushanam sahasheshu kaschid yatati sitaye. Out of many millions of people, one may attempt to achieve success in life. This success is explained here. Radham indra param hitra tata siddhim avapsati. Siddhi consists of achieving the favor of Lord Vishnu, not the yoga siddhis. The yoga siddhis, anima, lakima, mahima, prapti, prakamya, ishitva, vashitva, and kama, vasayita, are temporary. The ultimate siddhi is to achieve the favor of Lord Vishnu. So Bali Maharaj, he lost everything to Vishnu, to Krishna, but then after that he gained everything. So would anybody like to be in the position of Bali Maharaj here and give everything to Krishna? Right now, if Krishna walked in the door, then we might do it, but now Krishna is not exactly walking in the door. So if just let that thought enter your mind. Today I will give everything, whatever possessions I have. How does that make you feel? A bit nervous? Today, everything, I will just give to Krishna and that's it. Anyway, if you use it in Krishna's service, it's okay. Bhrijan makes a nice comment. He says, we think if we give it all to Krishna, he'll give us something, but it'll be so subtle we won't even know if we have it or not. So maybe he'll give us something back, but we won't even know if we got it. It's so subtle. And that's actually how we think. Yes, okay, maybe when I'm older, how old do you have to be to give everything to Krishna? And that's especially in India. People say, yes, when my son is married, my daughter is married, then I can give everything to Krishna. But they don't. They give everything to the family and they come to Vrindavan with nothing. And so actually we have to give everything to Krishna. Or we have to be in that mood of whatever Krishna wants, then I'm ready. I'm ready to give. So verse 14. With great affection, the personality of Godhead bound Bali and then installed him in the kingdom of Sutala, which is more opulent than the heavenly planets. Maharaj Bali now resides on that planet and is more comfortably situated than Indra. So this planet, when we were studying the geography of the universe last year, it is around the, is it the knees? I think it's the knees, Sutta, Atala, Vitala, Sutala. It's around the knees of the universal form. But it's more opulent than even Indra's planet. So Krishna takes everything away, but then he gives you something so much better, even materially speaking, what to speak of spiritually speaking. Not only did he give him the whole something more opulent than Indra, he gave him himself, which is the most wonderful thing. Verse 15, 16, O King, during the eighth Manvantara, the great personalities Galava, Deeptiman, Parashuram, Ashvatthama, Kripacharya, Rishishringa, and our father Vyasadeva, incarnation of Narayan, will be the seven sages. For the present, they are all residing in their respective ashrams. So now we're hearing who the next, and isn't that a surprise? Which name surprises you here? Ashvatthama. He's going to be a great sage. And also Kripacharya, all these great Kshatriyas, Parashuram, heavy rishis in the next Manvantara, yes?
And he's referring to the
Saptarishis? Yeah, Saptarishis, great personalities. How many are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. These are going to be the seven great sages in the next, when Bali Maharaj is Indra. Then Kripa, Ashutama, Parashuram, three great Kshatriyas. Then the rest are Brahmins. Rishishringa. Rishishringa married the son of, I can't remember who, one king, Romapad, Shanta. There was no rainfall in his kingdom. And so he lured Rishishringa to his kingdom by sending some prostitutes. And he came to the kingdom and he married his daughter, Shanta.
Next
No, same day. Next manu. See, in a day of Brahma, there are 14 manus. So in the next, this is number 7. Now we are in number 7. When number 8 comes, after how many? 71 minus 28. About 43 more Divya Yugas, then this 8th manu will come. And these will be the 7 sages. Bali will be Indra in the next manu. And it's in the same day, one day of Brahma. In one day of Brahma, 14 manus. They're always glorious. Okay, we'll go to verse 17. In the 8th manvantara, the greatly powerful personality of Godhead, Sarvabhauma, will take birth. His father will be Devaguya, his mother will be Saraswati. He will take the kingdom away from Purandar, Lord Indra, and give it to Bali Maharaj. So just imagine, now Indra is getting the kingdom, but then he's going to be taken away from him by the next incarnation of the Lord and given to Bali. Well, if he reads Bhagavatam, and he then he knows, yes? No, Bali becomes Indra. Indra is a post. Indra is not the name of a person. Indra is a name of a post which is given to whoever becomes king of heaven. Indra means king of heaven. It's a post. So, just like president. Yes. Yeah, yes. The king of heaven, Indra, will be Bali. I mean, he's the president will be Bali, or Bali will be the president. Okay, so Bali Maharaj. Now, I think you better wait now. I want to keep going here. We got 2 chapters today. Let's just keep going. You can ask your questions at the end. In the 8th, okay, his father, right. Verse 18. O king, the 9th manu will be Daksha Savarni, who is born of Varuna. Among his sons will be Bhutaketu and Deeptaketu. So now the family is going from Vivasvan to Varuna, in charge of the water, from fire to water. Verse 19. In this 9th manvantara, the Paras, Marichigarbhas, will be among the demigods. King of heaven Indra will be named Adbhuta, and Dutiman will be among the 7 sages. 20. Rishabhdev, a partial incarnation of Supreme Personality of Godhead, will take birth from his father Ayushman, his mother Ambudhara. He will enable the Indra named Adbhuta to enjoy the opulence of the 3 worlds. Verse 21. The son of Upashloka, known as Brahma Savarni, will be the 10th manu. Bhurishena will be among his sons, and the Brahmins headed by Havishman will be the 7 sages. Verse 22. Havishman, Sukrita, Satyajaya Murti, and others will be the 7 sages. The Suvasanas and Virutas will be among the demigods, and Shambhu will be their king, Indra. And this is not the Shambhu that we know. Various commentators say it's obvious that Shambhu mentioned here is not Lord Shiva. Verse 23. In the home of Vishvasrastha, a plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead will appear from the womb of Vishuchi as the incarnation known as Vishvaksena. He will make friends with Shambhu. 24. In the 11th manvantara, the manu will be Dharma Savarni, who will be extremely learned in spiritual knowledge. From him there will come 10 sons headed by Satyadharma. The Vihanganas, Kamaganas, Nirvana, Ruchis, and others will be the demigods. King of demigods Indra will be Vaidrita. The 7 sages will be headed by Aruna. So Aruna is the charioteer of the sun god, Vivasvan, and brother of Garuda. Garuda's brother. Brother of Garuda. Verse 26. The son of Aryaka, known as Dharmasetu, a partial incarnation of Supreme Personality of Godhead, will appear from the womb of Haidrita, wife of Aryaka, and will rule the 3 worlds. O king, the 12th mana will be named Rudra Savarni. Devavan, Upadev, and Devashrestha will be among his sons. In this manvantara, name of Indra will be Ritadhama. The demigods will be headed by Haritas. Among the sages will be Tapumurti, Tapasvi, and Agni Traka. From the mother named Sunita and father named Satya Saha will come Swadhama, a partial incarnation of Supreme Personality of Godhead. He will rule that Manvantara. The 13th Rana will be named Deva Savarni, and he will be very advanced in spiritual knowledge. Among his sons will be Chitrasena and Vichitra. And the 13th Manvantara, Isukarmas and Sutramas will be among the demigods. Devaspati will be the king of heaven, and Nirmoka and Tattvadarsha will be among the seven sages. Son of Devahotra, known as Yogeshwara, will appear as a partial incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His mother's name will be Brihati. He will perform activities for the welfare of Devaspati. The name of the 14th Mana will be Indrasavarni. He will have sons like Uru, Gambira, and Buddha. Pavitras and Chakshusas will be among the demigods. Shuchi will be Indra, king of heaven. Agni, Bahu, Shuchi, Shuddha, Magadha, and others of great austerity will be the seven sages. O King Parikshit, in the 14th Manvantara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will appear from the womb of Vitana. His father's name will be Satrayana. The incarnation will be celebrated as Brihad Bhanu. He will administer spiritual activities. O King, I have now described to you the 14 Manus appearing in past, present, and future. The total duration of time ruled by these Manus is 1,000 yuga cycles. This is called the Kalpa, or one day of Lord Brahma. So here we have 14 Manus. And now we're going to hear in the next chapter, right now, what these Manus do. Verse 1. Maharaj Parikshit inquired, O most opulent Shukadeva Goswami, please explain to me how Manu and the others in each Manvantara are engaged in their respective duties and by whose order they are so engaged. Shukadeva Goswami said, the Manu, sons of Manu, the great sages, Indras, and all the demigods, O King, are appointed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his various incarnations, such as Yajna. So here's the answer to the question, how do the Manus get their position? Not only Manus, Indra is appointed, Manu is appointed, and all the demigods are appointed by the incarnation of the Lord. So that's how they all get their positions. Yeah, for each Manu, then all the demigods are appointed by the Lord, by the incarnations. Verse 3, O King, I have already described to you various incarnations of the Lord, such as Yajna. The Manus and others are chosen by these incarnations, under whose direction they conduct the universal affairs. Verse 4, at the end of every four yugas, the great saintly persons, upon seeing that the eternal occupational duties of mankind have been misused, reestablish the principles of religion. So Chatur Yuga, this sounds like, yes, this is every 71 times in each Manu, the sages have to reestablish the religious, every four yugas, they have to reestablish. So that's Manu's job, 71 times a day he has to, in one day in his life. 70, yeah. Yeah, the Saptarishi is also Manu. Manu, actually, it's not in his one day. It's 71 times in his life. In Manu's life, he has to reestablish the religious principles. He lives for 71 yugas, so that means his lifetime means every year, practically, he has to reestablish the religious principles again. Practically almost every year. He lives for 71 yugas. And he lives 100 years. Everyone lives 100 years. So 71 yugas. So then every year and a half or so, he has to do his work again. And then it's lost in Kali Yuga. Again, he reestablishes principles. And the sages help him. Great saintly persons and Manu. So in the purport, in this verse, the words dharma and sanatana are very important. Sanatana means eternal, and dharma means occupational duties. From Satya Yuga to Kali Yuga, the principles of religion and occupational duty gradually deteriorate. In Satya Yuga, the religious principles are observed in full, without deviation. In Chaitya Yuga, however, these principles are somewhat neglected, and only three-fourths of the religious duties continue. In Dwapara Yuga, only half of the religious principles continue. And in Kali Yuga, only one-fourth of the religious principles, which gradually disappear. At the end of Kali Yuga, the principles of religion or occupational duties of humanity are almost lost. Indeed, in this Kali Yuga, we have passed through only 5,000 years Yet, the decline of Sanatana Dharma is very prominent. So just imagine what it's going to be like after 400,000 years. 400, how long is it? 432. 432,000 is the length of... Minus 5. So another 427,000 years. And it's going to get worse. And of course, next 10,000 years, we have our Harinam Sankirtan. But after that, it's going to be very, very bad. Bad news. The duty of saintly persons, therefore, is to take up seriously the cause of Sanatana Dharma and try to re-establish it for the benefit of the entire human society. Krishna conscious movement has been started according to this principle. It's stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. Kaler dosa nidhe raja asti eko maha guna kirtana iva krishna sya mukta sangha paramache. Entire Kali Yuga is full of faults. It is like an unlimited ocean of faults. But the Krishna conscious movement is very authorized. Therefore, following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who 500 years ago inaugurated the movement of Sankirtan, Krishna Kirtan, we are trying to introduce this movement according to superior orders all over the world. So Prabhupada has his superior orders and we have our superior orders to reestablish religious principles as now they are lost. Now Prabhupada tells how, if the inaugurators of this movement strictly follow regular principles and spread this movement for the benefit of all human society, they will certainly usher in a new way of life by reestablishing Sanatana Dharma, the eternal occupational duties of humanity. So if we help spread this movement, then we're doing the same thing that the Manus and great sages do at the end of every four yugas. If we are a part of this movement, then we're in that same duty. We have the same duty as these great sages. Prabhupada says, the eternal occupational duty of the human being is to serve Krishna. Jivarsharupoi Krishna Nityadas. This is the purport of Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana means nitya, or eternal, and Krishna Das means servant of Krishna. The eternal occupational duty of the human being is to serve Krishna. This is the sum and substance of the Krishna consciousness movement. What is the sum and substance of the Krishna consciousness movement? Serve Krishna. Very good. Now, it's very simple, two words. The essence of our movement is serving Krishna. Serve Krishna. But now, actually in the West, the word duty is not even a word. Even for young kids, the youth, the word duty is not, it's very, very, it's lost actually. The sense of duty is lost. Duty to the parents, duty to the government, duty to, the duty is just, actually it started with our generation, I must admit. Our generation was what started. We felt like we didn't have a duty to our parents or to anybody. We just left. And a very self-centered life. No love. But the future of Kali Yuga will be even worse. Even there will be no sense of family and the parents will eat the children. Even now, of course, they're having abortion. They're killing the child in the womb. And so there's no morality. So we see how it's lost. There's these great wars, and they kill children, they kill old people, women. Yeah, they eat in the where in the West, California. Huh? You heard? They eat the embryos. America. Yes. So this is going on. So I have a little bit. I have something here from Srila Prabhupada. Nara Narayan is asking Prabhupada. Well, he was there with the conversation with in 1969 between Srila Prabhupada and Allen Ginsberg. Does anybody know who is Allen Ginsberg? He's a hippie poet. A hippie.
He supported Prabhupada.
Yes, he did. That's why he's talking with Srila Prabhupada here. So he's a poet. He's no longer with us. He has left this world. But when Prabhupada was here, then he was helping Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes they would have big kirtans together in San Francisco, I think. San Francisco, is it? New York also. New York, but also there was this big Evelyn Ballroom. Yeah. So, Allen Ginsberg. And he must be very happy that the devotees are remembering his name today, wherever he may be. That we are remembering you and appreciating your service for Srila Prabhupada today. So anyway, Prabhupada described to Allen Ginsberg how bad Kali Yuga was going to get, how there would not be any more plants or trees. All animals would be carnivorous, means all animals will eat people. People would all eat people too. People would all be cannibals. Fruits will be big seeds surrounded by skin. There would be nothing to eat, and what few devotees there were would live in caves. So if anybody wants to come back to Kali Yuga, you'll be living in a cave. And Allen Ginsberg asked Prabhupada, and your disciples, they will be in the caves? Prabhupada said, my disciples will have gone back to Godhead by then. Yes, Madhavendra Puri? Yeah, it's not worth it to go to Sarga because you'll be up there so long, you'll be back here for the end of Kali Yuga by the time you finish your pious credits up there. So then, Allen Ginsberg said, oh really? Prabhupada said, yes, they are very advanced. They are going to go back very shortly. They are chanting. They are taking part in this process. They are becoming pure devotees in this lifetime. So that goes for anyone who follows Srila Prabhupada. If you are following Prabhupada, 16 rounds, 4 regulative principles, so many times he guaranteed you will go back to Godhead. And Allen Ginsberg asked Prabhupada, yes, and what will happen to the rest of us? Srila Prabhupada leaned over to Allen, and Allen leaned over to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, Allen, at the end of Kali Yuga, I will eat you, and you will eat me. To avoid this, you must go back to Godhead. So we don't want to stay to find out. These predictions are already happening, and it's only 5,000 years into Kali Yuga. Now, the next 10,000 years won't be too bad, but if you go to Swarga in between, then you won't make it for this. You'll make it for living in the caves. So don't do it. Go back in this lifetime, back to Godhead, and don't come back here. Verse 5, thereafter, O King, the Manus, being fully engaged according to the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, directly reestablished the principles of occupational duty in its full four parts. So that's Varnashram. Purport. Dharma, or occupational duty, can be established in its full four parts, as explained in Bhagavad Gita. Lord says, Imam vivas vate yogam proktavam aham avyam vivasamanave prahamanurikshakave bhavit. I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god Vivashvan, and Vivashvan instructed it to Manu, father of mankind, and Manu in turn instructed it to Ikshvaku. This is the process of disciplic succession. Following the same process, the Krishna consciousness movement is teaching the principles of Bhagavad Gita as it is, without deviation, all over the world. If the fortunate people of this time accept the instructions of Lord Krishna, they will certainly be happy in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted everyone, at least in India, to become a preacher of this mission. In other words, one should become a guru and preach the Lord's instructions all over the world for the peace and prosperity of humanity. So this is, Prabhupada is explaining that what is happening right now, Krishna conscious movement, is what happens, same thing happens at the end of the Chaturyugas with the Manus and with the sages. They spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world and reestablish the principles of religion. And we heard Prahlad Maharaj, when he was preaching to his friends, he said, my dear young friends, born of demons, please act in such a way the Supreme Lord will be satisfied. Give up your demoniac nature and act without enmity or duality. Show mercy to all living entities by enlightening them in devotional service, thus becoming their well-wishers. So that is also our instruction. Verse 6, to enjoy the results of sacrifice, yagyas, the rulers of the world, namely the sons and grandsons of Manu, discharge the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead until the end of Manu's reign. The demigods also share the results of these sacrifices. So we'll go to the middle of the purport. Anyone interested in peaceful life? Anyone interested in peaceful life here? Yes, we want peace. We're the hippies, that was their goal. But actually, to do our devotional service, we also need peace too. We need to have a peaceful life, otherwise the Brahmins cannot do their service. Anyone interested in peaceful life must participate in this Parampara system and perform yajnas. As Gaudiya Vaishnavas in Parampara system of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we must perform Sankirtan yajna all over the world. Yajnai Sankirtana Praya Yajantihi Sumerishha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this age of Kali, and he will be easily satisfied if the Sankirtan movement is spread vigorously all over the world. This will also make people happy, without a doubt. So we have to be convinced of this, how to make people happy and how to make ourselves happy by spreading the Sankirtan movement all over the world and also to ourselves. To make ourselves happy, we must also be engaged in chanting and in preaching. This is yayatma supersedati, pure devotional service. This is pleasing to the soul. Verse 7, Indra, King of Heaven, receiving benedictions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus enjoying highly developed opulences, maintains the living entities all over the three worlds by pouring sufficient rain on all the planets. In every yuga, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, assumes the form of siddhas, such as Sanaka, to preach transcendental knowledge. So now we're hearing about all the different sages. He assumes the form of great saintly persons, such as Yajnavalkya, to teach the way of karma. And he assumes the form of great yogis, such as Dattatreya, to teach the system of mystic yoga. Purport, for the benefit of all human society, not only does the Lord assume the form of Manu, as an incarnation, to rule the universe properly, he also assumes the form of a teacher, yogi, gyani, and so on, for the benefit of human society. So isn't that interesting? Not only the Manu is an incarnation, all of these sages and they're all incarnations. The duty of human society, therefore, is to accept the path of action enunciated by the Supreme Lord. So what is the path of action? This is our duty to accept the path of action. What is that path of action enunciated by the Supreme Lord? Raise your hand. Lila Madhuri. Varnashram Dharma. Do we have a verse? Adi Purush. Charvata. Chaturvanyam Ayashishtam. Another verse. What is the main verse? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Yagaitai Kamanonyacha. Another one, Adi? Sarvadharman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam. That's the verse that Prabhupada wants to be preached all over the world. This is the verse. If we preach Varnashrama Charvata, then I don't think the world will be ready for that. Of course, they're not ready for Sarvadharma neither, but I think it's a lot easier because they've already given up Sarvadharma, so then you just have to do the second part. Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. One part's we've given up already Sarvadharma. So what's next? Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. Yes. Prabhupada said that one time when he translated this verse. Yes, you've already given up the Sarvadharma. So no, just surrender to Krishna. And that's the verse. That's the verse Prabhupada wants us to preach. Whenever he quotes Jare Deko Tare Koho Krishna Upadesh, the Lord Chaitanya says, whoever you meet, instruct them. And this is the instruction that Srila Prabhupada wants us to give, that Manu wants us to give, that all the sages want us to give to whoever we meet. Sarvadharma Prityaja. And here Prabhupada says, in the present age, sum and substance of all Vedic knowledge is to be found in Bhagavad Gita, which is personally taught by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the same Supreme Godhead, assuming the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, expands the teachings of Bhagavad Gita all over the world. In other words, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is so kind and merciful to human society, he is always anxious to take the fallen souls back home, back to Godhead. Verse 9, in the form of Prajapati Marichi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead creates progeny. So it's going on, the incarnations of the Lord. Becoming the king, he kills the thieves and rogues. In the form of time, he annihilates everything. All the different qualities of material existence should be understood to be qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay, so creation, maintenance, destruction, it's all His qualities. There is a verse in second canto, that is 7th chapter, verse 39. 2, 7, 39. At the beginning of creation, there are penance, Brahma, and the Prajapatis, the great sages who generate. During maintenance, there are Lord Vishnu, the demigods with controlling powers, and kings of different planets. So for maintenance, he's the king. At the end, there is irreligion and Lord Shiva and the atheists full of anger. All of them are different representative manifestations of energy of the supreme power, the Lord. So all of these are representation, creation, maintenance, and destruction. He incarnates. And we heard, how did the Lord help everyone in the pastime of the churning of the ocean of milk? How did he help everyone in the different modes of nature? Passion, goodness, passion, and ignorance during this last pastime? Lila Madhuri? He was infusing them, more specifically, Adi Purush. He infused the demons with rajas or passion, the devas with sattva, and vasuki with tamas or ignorance. So everyone was getting tired. So then the Lord, just to keep it the lila going, he went and he infused all of them with different modes. So he can do anything. So he can infuse someone with ignorance, passion, or goodness as he desires. So verse 10, people in general are bewildered by the illusory energy, and therefore they try to find the absolute truth, Supreme Personality of Godhead, through various types of research and philosophical speculation. Nonetheless, they are unable to see the Supreme Lord. So different philosophers. At the end of the purport, Prabhupada says, this inability is due to the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. Devotees, therefore, accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead as He is and remain happy simply by chanting the glories of the Lord. Who was happy like that? Who said, I'm just simply happy chanting your glories? Prahlad Maharaj, yes. I'm happy. Yes. Shoche, but I'm still lamenting for those fools and rascals. Ndiyarta. So I have a verse here from 6th canto, remember last year, about this verse 10 is about all these philosophers, or people in general, bewildered, and they try to find through various types of research. So I've got a verse here about all these different philosophers, how they're bewildered, and that is 6.3.25. And because they are bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord, Yajñavalkya and Jaimini and other compilers of the religious scriptures cannot know the secret, confidential religious system of the 12 Mahajans. They cannot understand the value of performing devotional service or chanting Hare Krishna mantra. Because their minds are attracted to ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas, their intelligence has become dull. Thus they are busy collecting ingredients for ritualistic ceremonies that yield only temporary benefits such as elevation to Swarga Loka for material happiness. They are not attracted to the Sankirtan movement. Instead, they are interested in dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. So Sridhar Swami, in his commentary on this verse, gave a very nice example. He said that in Ayurvedic medicine, when you get a fever, then they prescribe three bitter medicines, trikatu, neem. One is neem, one is kalmeg, and the other one is chirata. When we were first in India, kalmeg, all the devotees had to drink kalmeg just as a regular daily practice, just to keep well, but it's very, very bitter. So neem, kalmeg, all these bitter medicines. So Sridhar Swami compares these bitter medicines to all these other paths of Jaimini, Yajñavalkya, all these other philosophies. They're like bitter medicine. Because they don't know there's a very nice medicine called Mitta Sanjeevani. So this medicine brings the dead back to life. And what is this medicine that brings the dead back to life? Adi Purush? Holy name. Chanting Hare Krishna. Yes. This is the medicine which they don't know about. Huh? Bhavoshadi. Bhavoshadi. So instead they go for the bitter medicines. So one who doesn't chant Hare Krishna and he goes for the other paths, it's like he's going for the bitter medicines, which only give temporary relief from the fever. So verse 11, in one kalpa, or one day of Brahma, there take place the many changes called vikalpas. O king, all of these have been previously described to you by me. Learned scholars who know the past, present, and future have ascertained that in one day of Brahma, there are 14 manus. So, this is interesting. It's a little bit, according to second canto, the word vikalpa has a different meaning, actually. Has a different meaning. 2.10.46. So in this verse, it means the changes during one kalpa, or one day of Brahma. And in that 2.10.46, there's three kinds. It said mahakalpa, vikalpa, and kalpa. Mahakalpa is Karadakshai Vishnu, and vikalpa is the creation of Brahma, vikalpa, and kalpa is the creation of Brahma each day. So how do we rectify or reconcile these two different meanings of vikalpa? One is the creation of Brahma, and one other vikalpa are changes in Brahma's one day. How do we reconcile that? I thought of a way that vikalpa. Yeah, vikalpa is just like dividing. It's dividing something bigger. So in kalpas, you can divide it by vikalpas. And then if you have a mahakalpa, which is a big one, you can also divide it. There's a vikalpa, Brahma's creation. So it's a division of time, actually. So in the mahakalpas, there are vikalpas, and in the kalpas, there are also vikalpas. But the vikalpas in the kalpa are much smaller units of time than the vikalpa in the mahakalpa. So, we'll stop here. Mm-hmm. Now you can ask your small question, or anybody else have any questions or comments, Jamashtami? You mean the same ones? Same. No, they're different people. They're not the same. Yeah, different people. No, no, that's an incarnation. It says Rishabhdev is an incarnation, but it's not the same. Yeah, there's another one. As far as I don't know actually if it's the same one or not. Yeah, so it's so yes. Yeah, it'll be the same Vyasadeva. It's also period of Manu is also called Manvantara, yes? It's the period. Manvantara is the period. And Manu is the incarnation. Yeah, yes. Yes, it's a prediction. All these ones that we know, a lot of them we know, they will be in the eighth Manu. They have long lives. Vyasadeva is still living, and all these people are still living that we've heard of.
It seems that these appointments and selections have been done.
Yeah, it's already done. It's already done, but then, you know, it's just like you'll have a formal ceremony like initiation or something, and where he will appoint you. All the places are taken for the rest of this day of Brahma, so don't even think of it. Of course, who knows? You could be one of these people in your next life. Yes. So the question is, well, if yes. Actually, there was a question like that to Prabhupada about astrology. You know, if it's all predestined, and you know, what's the use of astrology? Why should we even bother, you know, with astrology? And Prabhupada, and he said, yes, it may be predestined, but it's good you can take an umbrella if you know it's going to rain. If you know it's going to rain, you can take your umbrella. So what's the use for who? What's the use of trying to reestablish religious principles? Yeah, we get the credit. The use is that we go back to Godhead if we try to help establish religious principles. Yes. Yeah, well, it described the end of the four yugas. They specifically do it, but we can see that Kali Yuga is so hopeless that it happens also right in the beginning of Kali Yuga. But it won't last long, like 10,000 years. 15 means 5 and then plus another 10. So according to prediction, it's just going to be 10,000 years that they're going to try in Kali Yuga to reestablish religious principles. And then Kali Yuga will take over in full force. But it's useful now because there are people who can be brought back. Now, right now, for the next 10,000 years, there are people who are ready, waiting to go back to Godhead. So we just have to go in and pick them up. There are people waiting everywhere just to meet a devotee. It's very... Actually, you can see the trend in America now. Vegetarianism is not like it used to be, completely alien, that it's something that's recognized. And in UK, it's... Vegetarianism. Yeah, before it was just like, you're crazy if you're vegetarian. But now they have, now it's recognized. In London, 1/4 of the people, I heard, are supposed to be vegetarians. Yeah, when you go to London, you see sections in the shops, and vegetarian sections in the supermarkets. In France also? Not so much. In London especially. I went to London, you get... UK, then in? Oh, Bangladesh, of course. Yeah, even in West Bengal, I'm sure there's more in London. Yes, everybody eats fish there. Yes, it's a type of fruit of the ocean, right? technical terms, we can call anything a vegetable then. Okay, yes, you've been waiting patiently. No, it is not. They think it's good health. It's not, no. No, they think it's good health, yes. Any other questions? Yes, okay, what is your question? The question is, are the most fallen sinful persons taking birth in Kali Yuga? Well, what do you do in the meantime if you're not the most fallen and sinful persons? Where do you go? Anyway, we are the most fortunate because we're born in Kali Yuga. We have the easiest method and we have the most mercy. What do you think, Jamashtami? The sages worship Kali Yuga. Yeah. It's such a... Within our short lifetime of 50, 60, 70 years, we can go back to Godhead.
And we have 10,000 years to complete.
And the yogis, they used to have to do it in 60,000 years. Valmiki took 60,000 years to perfect in Satyuga, yoga. Yes. Demigods are responsible for different energies. Who? Oh, the lower planets. This question came up before about the yugas. Are the yugas present on all the planets? Is that your question? I think Adi Purush, did you answer that question?
There was a quote from Bhagavad Gita, it's not present even in the neighboring Varshas.
It's not even in... So we are in Bhartavarsha. The four yuga influence is not even present on the neighboring Varshas of Jambudweep. It's only Bhartavarsha. We're very fortunate to have the influence of Kali Yuga, right? Is that what the quote said from where? Padma Purana. Okay, he's talking.
What is the life like?
Where?
Around,
yeah, they have their heavenly life. It's a heavenly Boma Swarga. Boma Swarga, it's heavenly. So they live a lot. They live 10,000 years, like the demigods, and they're just living their happy lives. And they worship incarnations of the Lord, different incarnations. And below, they're also happy, Sutala. There's no disturbances. We're Bali Maharaj. Everyone's happy except here in Bhartavarsha.
Like
the only problem is, of course, Indra has his problems. When the demons attack. This whole canto is about the problems in the heavenly planets. So don't think it's very nice up there. Now, twice Bali Maharaj is attacking and defeating the demigods. And Hiranyakashipu in seventh canto, he took over heavenly planets and all the demigods were like his slaves. So it's not so happy up there. I mean, it's happy most of the time, but sometimes, occasionally, a demon will come and attack and defeat. In lower planets, it's actually happier. There's undisturbed happiness in the lower planets, not hellish planet, not in the hell. Hell is always miserable. In the lower planets, it's not so bad because the people, they want to enjoy without disturbance, so that's where they go.
Are present,
according to this quote? No. And there's no four yugas, only Bhardvaj, only here. But that's very good because we can go quickly back to Godhead. We won't be attached. Yes, we're being forced. We're the most fortunate. We should not forget that. We have the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda. Tomorrow is Nityananda's appearance day. So we're the most fortunate in all the universe. We've met a pure devotee. We have the chance to go back to Godhead. We have the opportunity to chant Jamashtami. Yes, he's saying it's an advantage to the hellish conditions now in Kali Yuga. Yes, we're pushed to take shelter of the holy name. Prabhupada was saying people, in one purport, he was saying that those who are the most fortunate are those who are born in distressful conditions. And then they quickly come to the Lord's lotus feet. Okay. Janamashmi said, isn't there a limit to the suffering? Yes, Krishna will see what your limit is. He will test you. And then if you...
No, but the point I'm making is that some people are so absolutely hellish.
Yes, if you're in the hellish planets, it's very difficult. But sometimes there is relief. There are some quotes where when they started chanting Hare Krishna, they started going up to the heavenly planets. When those in the hellish in hell started chanting, they were released and they went up. They started going up towards heaven. I don't know how that happened, but there's a quote like that. And another time when Krishna appeared, when he blew his conch shell, then again they all got liberation from the hellish planets. Yes. Yes, it's very... Everyone is... That's our qualification, is we're so distressed that we're looking for Krishna. Yeah, after that attack on the Twin Towers in America, then Indradyumna Swami was saying that people were coming up to him, well, what to do now? What shall we do? You know, then he was wearing his sannyas dress, and they come. They Prabhupada said, if there is a war, then after that there will be good preaching, because all their opulence will be taken. Yes. Limit of sufferings. Yes. We are aware of that. We are aware that hell is already here. Yes. Thank you very much. And for the next... Yes, yes. Okay. Heaven and hell are here. And yes, Madhavanapuri. 8, 14, 4. Yes. Śrīla Prabhupāda perfectly fits the description of Īśānukata, re-establishing religious principles. Nobody will argue with that. Yes, he has definitely fulfilled that principle. Yes, he's giving the signs of God fully for the lowest. Hari Purush. Yes. 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 Yes, yes, that is a prediction. Yeah, okay, the verse in Bhagavatam 1, 5, not 17, no, 11, 1, 5, 11. Tadvag visargo janataka viplavo. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So Srila Prabhupada fulfills this verse. Yes, I've heard that also. That the verse 1, 5, 11, that literature... which describes the pastimes of the Lord, even though imperfectly composed, will be accepted by men who are honest, thoroughly honest, and will create a revolution in the impious lives of this world's civilization. So that is, yes, that's a prediction of Srila Prabhupada. And the first Bhagavatams, I have those first Bhagavatams, and they are imperfectly composed. There's so many grammatical mistakes. But Prabhupada in the preface or somewhere in the beginning, he said, if there's a fire in the house, you may not understand the language, but you can convey the message and save the people from the fire. So that was his idea of these first three parts, first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, first three books. That even though his language is not perfect, still we can understand what it's about and take up the mission and save ourselves and save others. Yes, that's good. That is a prediction. There's some verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita that in the future Vyasa will expand Bhagavatam. Yes, Bhagavatam is on all the planets. It's much bigger, yes. I think there's the Vedas are 1 billion verses originally, as far as I understand. And from the original Vedas, there's Bhagavatam, Mahabharata, everything is taken from the original Vedas on the higher planets. So all these, they're actually Veda, Bhagavatam and all these books. And this is described in Tattvasandarbha of Jiva Goswami, the origin of Bhagavatam. It's actually taken from the higher planets, from the original Vedas. Yes, of course. That we know. Bhagavatam is eternal. But there is a history as well. There is a history, even though it's eternal. We are in this place of past, present, and future. So therefore, there is a history of the appearance of Bhagavatam. And, yes. Leela Madhuri? The same family. Adi Purush might know that. I don't know. No, I've heard it several times. But I don't know. Oh, is it raining? Oh, just see. The rain is coming. And unseasonably. Well, this means change of season, actually. When it rains, that means it's going to become hot now. When it rains in the end of winter. Okay, I think you had your quota. What, Parvati? The king is pious. Our king, Devamrita and Shrestha. Yes, there is one, the son of Dayaram in Mayapur. Jananivas has blessed him to be king of Mayapur. The son of Dayaram's son. King of Mayapur in the future. It's the blessings of Jananivas to become king. Yeah, and he's showing some very nice symptoms, actually. Very generous child. Just he gives away all his things. And if he has something, someone gives him something to eat, he'll give it to some. You know, he's just very magnanimous. Anyway, okay. If it's a very short comment, not a whole lecture. He comes once in a day of Brahma, when the original Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why not? Krishna came, he comes once in a day of Brahma. Lord Chaitanya, he comes once in a day of Brahma. No reason. It is causeless. But it's also the time. It's the time when he comes, it's this time. So we happen to be in that time, we're very fortunate. Very close to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna. It's only once, not once in 71, it's once in a day of Brahma. Once in one day of Brahma, once in the whole day. No, more than that. 71 and a half times 14. Kalpas. Yes. 1,000. Means once in 1,000. There's 1,000 Divya Yugas in a day of Brahma. So once in one of those 1,000 kalpas, Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya come. Anyway, I think you should, you know what I suggest? You go to Bhrigu. You can find out what you did in your last life to be so fortunate. And he will tell you. You find some place. Past, present, future. You'll know your present and your future and past. It's the only way you can actually find out right now. All these, the answers to these questions, why? And then you can find out your own history. There is no cause. It's causeless. Mercy is causeless. Causeless mercy. And that's also from his side, it's causeless. And from our side, it has to be causeless too. That we should reciprocate with his causeless mercy. No reason. We have no qualification. No reason. No reason. Actually, we're unqualified. And being unqualified, that's our qualification. Nityananda. Oh, I was just reading. I was hearing again Burijan's lecture, not the one in class, but on the 10th canto. Lord Brahma, he offended Krishna, and then he was giving these beautiful prayers. And he was presenting his case, why he should get the mercy from the Lord. He said, I offended you. Yes, but you know, I'm your son. I was born from your navel. And he was giving so many reasons why he should get the mercy now. So Burijan Prabhu says, yes, and we should present our case. Why we should get the mercy from the Lord. Why are we are so unqualified to get, why we should get the mercy. Why? What is our disqualification? What is our qualification? And he quoted about Narottam Das Thakur. Narottam was saying, yes, you came for the most fallen, and now you should have a new name, that Narottam, I can't remember now, Narottam, deliverer of Narottam, in other words. And so we want to get the mercy of the Lord, so we have to present our case, why we should get the mercy, why we are qualified. Actually, tomorrow is Nityananda's appearance day, so he doesn't see the qualification. And I think Narottam says that I'm the most fallen, and that's my qualification. You've come for the most fallen. Yes, Patita Pavana Hetu. Yes, Jamashmi. Yeah, he said that in New York. He said that in London also. He said that there's this one, Bajahari, one devotee named Bajahari. And what Janamashtami Prabhu said is that in New York, Prabhupada said that he told the devotees, you've been specifically placed here to last life, you were Indians. So Bajahari Prabhu in London, he was with Srila Prabhupada in a darshan with some devotees. And he was talking about how before he was a devotee, he was working in a hellish factory, and he couldn't do it. He just couldn't do it. So Srila Prabhupada said, yes, your last life you were a Brahmin. He said, all of you were Brahmins. He said, you were all Brahmins your last life, and now here we are again together. So so that's... And he also said, yeah, he has said that several times, that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta has sent you to help me. He has said that on different occasions. Sometimes he says that, sometimes he says the opposite. I am making your mercy. I am making your qualification. And sometimes he would say that, yes, that you're sent here. Yeah. And you see somebody walks off. Sitala was telling a story that how Indradyumna Maharaj joined the temple. When he joined the first day, he went out on Harinam and he was chanting and dancing and he was so happy. And then coming back in Harinam, we used to ride all in the same van. So she was in the van and she was thinking, oh, I'm tired, oh, my legs hurt, oh, there's that. And he was saying, I could do this the rest of my life. The first day he came to the temple. So you see, people come in different levels. People join in different levels of advancement, yeah? Yeah, Radhikraman. When he was 5, uh-huh. So they trained him only in Prabhupada's books up to the age of 12, and then he went to university. 16, he graduated, got his BA, then got his Oxford PhD at the age of 21. Bhagavat Sandarbha. Yeah, two of them in the same family. Probably Savarni Manu and... one of these manus that we're hearing about. Who knows? Yeah, so here we have examples. Yes. Okay, so anyway, yes, there are many, many children are being born in this movement who are very qualified. So there's great hope. Great hope. Okay, we'll stop here. All glories to you, Prabhupada.